Proverbs 3, verse number 5. Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's pray this morning. Lord, I do thank you for this chance, this another day of life that you've given us, the breath that you give us this morning. Lord, thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the safety on the way here. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. And Lord, now we've come, we want to read out of your word, Lord, and we want you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I just want to be a vessel that can convey this. Lord, I want to do it well. I want to honor you with it. And Lord, I thank you for being able to trust you. Thank you for being trustworthy. Lord, I want to be trustworthy. And Father, I pray that you just help us this morning. And Lord, I was thinking of JK. His mom's having knee surgery tomorrow. I pray that you just bless her and be with her. Thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for the blessing that JK is to our church. And just bless him and his family in Jesus' name. Amen. Be in prayer for JK's mom tomorrow. She's having knee surgery, right, JK? And he come up to me and asked me to pray for her. And I think it would be due diligence for our church to pray for his mom tomorrow. So I praise the Lord every time I see JK. Thank the Lord for JK. And I'm going to redo those. I'm going to redo the handrail out there, hopefully before the end of the year. And it just, you're going to have to figure out a different way to climb over it, JK, because it's going to be different. So we'll have to figure out how to get him over that handrail. So praise the Lord for JK. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." This verse is something that almost all of our young people that have grown up in this ministry, you've heard preached, you've heard taught from, and a lot of you can quote it, you've memorized it. But we oftentimes, it's one of those things we have in our head, but we don't live with our lives. And I'm guilty of this. There's been a lot of times in my life that I haven't trusted in the Lord the way I should. And this morning I want to challenge you. I was thinking, I was praying, and I want to be a blessing to the young people. I want to be a blessing to everybody. But I want to encourage the young people to, because there's, I think one of the biggest things, and I'm just going to say this, and maybe I'm off on this, one of the biggest things that young people, and even probably into young adults, we struggle with is like probably an insecurity, okay? You're afraid of what the world thinks, and you're afraid, you don't know what to do, and you're, sometimes young people aren't even comfortable with themselves. They've got this insecurity thing. They're not content with the way that God made them. They're not content with the way that the family that God put them in. They're not content with their circumstances. You're not content with a lot of things in life. And so because of that, they have an insecurity. And I can say that even growing up, I mean, I was blessed with a great family. I was blessed to live in a great church. I was blessed in a lot of ways. But there are still at times some feelings of, man, of insecurity. I want to talk about trust this morning. I want to talk about trust. And if you would, I want to give you some thoughts. And then I'd like to tell a story. Is that okay if I tell a story? Not that it matters if it's okay with you, because sometimes story anyway. I don't know. I do it in children's church a lot, and, well, Brother Chad, I don't know if you should tell stories. Well, you should probably go look at how Jesus taught, and most of the things he taught was through a story anyway, so I'm going to tell you a story. But my kids love it. I read books to them, but I really don't read the book, because after, you know, five times of reading Dr. Seuss, I'm tired of the Cat in the Hat and, you know, So, or Curious George, or whatever I'm reading to them. So I change the story. I just use the picture and then change the story. And it's pretty amazing. They do things you never thought humanly possible to do. I like telling stories. And there's a lot in the Bible. If you'll take a story out of the Bible and you don't just read it as words, black words on white paper, But put yourself there and imagine, like, I love the story of Elijah on the mountain. I never told you guys that story on the trip. But Elijah on the mountain, I mean, when that fire comes down, the earth shakes and the wind, I mean, I can just see Elijah up on that mountain and all the stuff that's going on. Better than any Hollywood movie, I guarantee you. So, but trust. Young people, a lot of times, it's hard to know who to trust. Trust is something that is developed at a very early age. Okay, and I'm going to make some statements about trust. And trusting, if I was going to maybe pick a title, and this won't make sense till later, is maybe don't lay down the shield or keep the shield. And I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. But trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Go to Psalms chapter number 37. Psalms chapter 37. Verse number 3, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust is an interesting thing. Wednesday night or so ago, I preached a message about holding the ropes. And I stood up here and I had three of the young men, they held a rope, and I put my body weight against that rope and I leaned out here. Now, I don't have a rope on right now, so I'm not going to show you how I did it because it would not be good. But trust, you know what I was doing? I was trusting those young men, okay? I was trusting them. And trust is something, you know, as a child, for some reason, we grow out of trusting as much as what we used to. A little child, Micah, my youngest, he trusts me more than my oldest daughter. Now, I'm going to say some things, and I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of serious at the same time this morning. But trust, you know, Micah, he'll walk out on the edge of the bed, and I don't even say, here, Micah, you can jump. I don't even say that. I don't hold my arms out. He just jumps. He doesn't, no warning, he doesn't say, Daddy, catch me, he doesn't do anything. He'll just walk on the, if I'm standing there, he expects me to catch him. That's a lot of trust. Now, on the one hand, I think it's very important that as parents, we don't betray a trust. And I think I'm guilty of this. It's hilarious sometimes when you betray a trust. You know, the kids stand, you know, you're my daughter's, and that's why my oldest daughter doesn't trust me as much as my youngest son. Because, you know, my daughter's standing there, come on, Daddy, catch me. And so she jumps. And I maybe do catch her, but not until the last minute, like right before she hits the ground. You're like, oh, you know, and catch her. And, you know, as terrible as that sounds, all of you have done it, so don't look at me like that. There's just something. Come on, do you trust Daddy? Yeah, I trust you. All right, jump. Bam. You know, hit the floor. And yeah, it's funny, and we all laugh about it. But on the other hand, in all seriousness, that's probably not, and I'm saying this for me too. Do you know what that just did in the mind of that child? Now, that's the reason my daughter questions me now. You know, she does the whole standing. I mean, she's leaning over, and she's like, no, come closer. No, just jump. Come on, Emily, just jump. No, come closer. She wants the fact. Here's the difference. She wants to be able to, with her little arms, at some point to reach out and be able to grab my neck when she jumps. She doesn't just trust the fact that I'll reach out with my longer arms and grab her. And you know, young people, I want to ask you to do something this morning. Because what happens is a lot of young people, and this is true with all of you, there's been maybe times in your life when you've trusted somebody and they've betrayed that trust. And because of that, you've been hurt inside. It could be some of you may have trusted somebody, and to the worst degree, they have betrayed that trust. Some of you, I don't know all of your background, some of you may have had circumstances in your life where somebody did something really bad to you, and that person was somebody that you trusted. Young people, it could be as simple as your mom or dad, they say that they're going to do something, and they end up, they get busy, and they forget, and they don't do it. And I'm guilty. I've done that. I've been guilty of betraying the trust of my children. But trust is something that, honestly, young people, it's hard for you to really grasp. But we ask it of you all the time. You know, my daughters, there's some things, some of my daughters are in the why stage of life right now. And so one of the answers that we give them is, they don't need to question everything. Just trust me. You do it just because you trust me. Daddy, why should I not run out in the road? Just trust me. Don't run out in the road. I don't sit down with my daughter. Well, you see, young lady, this out here is a concrete jungle. And there are high-velocity vehicles that travel along this road. And if said little girl steps out in said road and said vehicle traveling at high speeds hits said little girl, it will eliminate said little girl. I don't do that. Okay? I just say, just trust me. Just trust me. And that's all at that stage of her life. Now, maybe when she gets older, I'll have the concrete jungle conversation with her. But until she gets older, you know what she needs to do? She just needs to trust me. And young people, there's been times in some of your lives, and I'm being in all seriousness here, you've trusted somebody and they have let you down. You've trusted, it could have been a parent, it could have been a friend, it could have been somebody and they've let you down. And because of that, in the back of our minds now, we don't trust people. You know, we are a very untrusting society. And it's because of, scams that go on. It's because of, people are habitual liars. They'll straight up lie to you. When you should be able to shake somebody's hand and know that you have that person's word, you shake somebody's hand, they'll look you right in the eye and tell you a bold-faced lie. And then it's like, well, I don't know if I should trust people anymore. And so, young people, you've grown up in a society of untrustworthiness. A lot of people aren't worthy of trust. And I want to challenge you this morning. We ask a lot of you. But the Bible says over and over and over again to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Hey, you know what? Brother Chad will let you down. You know, a pastor may let you down. Your parents may let you down. But God will never let you down. Now, I want to challenge some of you already in your mind. You're like, but Brother Chad, you don't know what they have done to me. You don't know how my trust has been betrayed at some point. Okay, I don't. But I want to tell you a story this morning, and I want to challenge you that there is something to trusting the authority. There is something to that. Trust. A lot of young people today are insecure. They don't know who to trust. I want to challenge you, put your trust in the Lord, but put your trust in the right people. You know that device that most of you have that most of you should not have called a phone? Okay? You shouldn't have it. I'm just saying. You can get mad at me if you want. All right? Most of you should not have it. Well, I'm the exception. All right. I hope so. But most of you shouldn't. You know why? Because on that phone is people have access to you that you grow to trust when you should not trust them. You grow to trust. Why would a young person trust somebody that they've only met a few times or a statement that they read on the internet? Why would they trust that versus a parent who has raised them for 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years? They trust that over people that really love them. And those people will betray your trust. I'm going to go a step further. Most of you, and I'm giving a plug for Pastor here, but, you know, Pastor, there's a reason that we tell you that you shouldn't really date until you're out of high school. And I'm going to tell you that reason, one of the reasons. You know, every time you get into a relationship, you trust that person a little bit, at least a little bit. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in a relationship with them. You trust them a little bit. And then they betray that trust. Now in the back of your mind is something that happened that, oh, wait a second. This happened last time. Wonder if I can trust that person now. Proverbs chapter, I'm going to read that verse to you. Go to Proverbs chapter number 31. This is a side note, but it's a worthy side note, so. Let me say this, young people. If the person that you're interested in circumvents authority to do with you what they want to do, that is an untrustworthy person. So what changes the fact after you get married that they won't do that to you? Circumvent you to do something else. People don't change just like that. Well, they love me. How many others have they loved? Proverbs chapter 31. Look at verse number 11. It's an interesting verse. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know what? That lady right back there, my wife, I trust her. I trust her. But you know one of the reasons, and she's trustworthy. She's trustworthy. She's a virtuous woman, okay? But you know one of the reasons I can have, I'd have no doubts about her. But she's the first woman I ever dated. She's the only one I ever dated. I don't have a history of six people back here that all betrayed my trust to finally get one that, I wonder if she's like the other six. Does that make sense? Okay. Trustworthiness. I'm just saying, hey, who are you trusting? And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to help you this morning. Young people, who are you trusting? Okay? Who are you trusting? I'm going to say a few things about trust. Trust is many times earned. Trust is earned. Do you know one man said, trust takes years to build, seconds to break. That's true. That's so true. Years to build, seconds to break. Because of that, trust should be held very sacredly. I want to talk just briefly, Psalms chapter 49. We're going to hit this because it's hit several times in the Bible. Well, most of the time in the Bible. Psalms chapter 49. Brother Chad, who should I trust? I'm going to give you two groups or two things this morning that you should trust. And obviously the first one is trust in the Lord. Because foremost, that they will never let you down. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Psalms chapter 49, verse number 6. This is interesting. I love when I found this, I thought it was kind of neat. Proverbs chapter 49, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You know that whole purgatory thing? Just went down the drains right here. The whole thing that Catholics teach about you can pay for your loved one that's already gone, so hopefully you can pay enough money that they can go to heaven. Just went out the tubes right here. Okay? It just did. You know what the Bible says? You're not rich enough to redeem your brother. And some people trust in their wealth. You know, the Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. You know why it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven? Not because it's impossible, but because a rich man trusts in what he has. Okay? That's why it's hard to go soul winning in a rich neighborhood. They don't need God. That's why it's getting harder to go soul winning in America is because Americans don't need God. Why do people go to third world countries to be missionaries? Because at least people, they know that they need God. Okay? Americans don't need God. They do. They just don't think they do. Okay? Anyway. Verse number 8. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. So just being smart doesn't make you go to heaven. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approved their sayings. Like sheep they are led in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. You know who I trust for my salvation? It's not the works of my hands, because you know what happens when I die? My works die with me. So what happens after, what takes me to heaven after I'm dead? Well, my works will. You're dead. You can't work anymore. Well, it's going to count from, oh, so you think the works that you did here on earth, this is a whole different thought process here, but the works that you did here on earth for your 70 years is going to carry you for eternity? No. You know who I'm trusting? My Redeemer, Jesus Christ. All right? So we need to trust in the Lord for our salvation. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10, I think I referenced this already. Mark chapter 10, verse 24. Or look at verse 23. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a man to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know what? Listen. And this is kind of just a preliminary to what we're really going to talk about this morning. But if you trust in the things that you do, you'll die and your death is just like an animal. That's what the Bible says. Psalm chapter 49. You die the same way as an animal dies. You're buried the same way as an animal's buried. What's the difference? If you trust in your works to take you to heaven, well, I'm a good person. And good people die and go to hell. Well, I'm a rich person, and rich people die and go to hell. Well, I'm a smart person, and smart people die and go to hell. You know the people that don't die and go to hell are the people whose Redeemer is God. I trust in my knowledge. I'm sorry, but you have a bad future. Okay? I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. Okay? Trust. Trust the Savior. There's an interesting thought, and this is kind of where I got deviated from what I was going to talk about. But once you go to Psalms chapter, 28. Now, if you can keep up with me, that's fine. We're going to go through Psalms really fast here. Okay, I've got them all typed out, so I don't have to turn to each one. All right, but they're all going to be in Psalms. And I'm going to show you a correlation here that I think is interesting. And it's truth that I kind of chased through the Bible last night a little bit. Psalms chapter 28. Look at verse number 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Now, if you can't keep up with me, I want you to listen. I'll read them. Just listen. That'd be easier. I'll read them. I want you to listen for two things. We're talking about trust this morning, but there's another thing in each one of these verses. Psalms chapter 33, verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalms 84:9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalms 115:9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Next verse, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Next verse, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalms 119:114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. It's Proverbs 30:5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Do you notice the one thing that was predominant about all those? He's a shield. He was a shield. And when I got chasing this through the Bible, it's interesting how many times the Bible correlates trusting God with being a shield. You say, Brother Chad, should I trust Pastor Jerry, Pastor Ross? Should I trust my parents when they tell me that I need to live a certain way and I need to dress a certain way and I need to do what I'm supposed to do? And that's the whole battle. Brother Chad, what is the thing that young people probably fight with growing up in a Christian environment? Well, Brother Chad, what about all this out there in the world that I see all the world doing? And then you tell me over here that I need to trust you and don't do that? That's what they fight with. Hey, that's what I fought with. You know, when Pastor came to me and said, Chad, you need to go to a year of Bible college. You want me to go to a year of Bible college? Just trust me. Just trust you. I'm a redneck from southern Indiana. And you want me to go to Lexington, Kentucky to a Bible college? Just trust me. Do what? Trust you. Why should I trust you? You know, that's the question. Why should I trust him? Why should you trust him? Why should, young people, if pastor asks you to do something, why should you trust him? If we ask you to go someplace or to do something or to act in a certain way, why should I trust you? Why should I trust you? Okay? That's the question. Brother Chad, you're telling me that they don't want me to date anybody or be in a courtship for until I'm, 17, 18 years old? That's not what the world's doing. Why should I trust you? What's the difference? Why should I trust you? Okay? I'm going to tell you why you should trust us. And you know, by God's grace, young people, I don't want to betray any trust. I don't want to do anything that would ever... There's a lot of people in this room I trust. I was thinking about this yesterday. Me and Brother Nathan, we've been squirrel hunting together several times. And we ought to go again. It's a lot of fun just blowing them things out of the trees. But we've been squirrel hunting a lot. And we started going with 22 rifles. And I'm only a headshot. I want headshots, okay? Well, a squirrel's head's that big, okay? Now, I've seen Brother Nathan shoot. He's an excellent shot, okay? He's a better shot than I am, especially with a bow. But have you ever heard the story of William Tell? He was an archer, and his son, he would shoot apples off his son's head. Now, that's trust. Say, Brother Chad, do you have that much trust? You know, honestly, if it came down to it and they said, you have to let somebody, don't get me wrong, I love all of you, but you have to let somebody shoot something off the top of your head, of everybody in this room, I'd pick that guy right there. Why? Because I trust him with that. And you think, Brother Chad, you're crazy. Why do you think I'm crazy? Why? That's the whole thing. That's the whole question you're asking. Why should I trust you? Why should I trust him? I'm going to give you the reason why I should trust him. Because we've spent hours together and I've seen him shoot. That's why I trust him. Brother Corey, I love you, brother, but I ain't about to put a gun in your hand shooting something off the top of my head. And you know what? Could Corey probably do it? I don't know. But could he do it? Yes. That's why I trust him. Young people, you say, Brother Chad, why should I trust pastor on some decisions? And I don't have everybody here this morning. Brother Levi, could you stand up? You and Miss Christina. Brother Nathan, could you and Miss Lauren stand up? Brother Jeff, could you and Miss Jenny stand up? I'm going to miss some people here. I know I am. Me and my wife, I'm standing already. Listen, young people, Brother Chad, why should we trust you? Hey, there's a board back there that says something like our own that's in other places. There's people in Kentucky. There's people in Rhode Island. You know the difference between us right here that are standing, young people, and the ones that aren't here? Is at some point all of us said, okay, I don't really see the logic of this, but I trust you. Amen. And I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Okay? You guys can be seated. There's amount of trust that comes because they've proven themselves. It's been proven. Okay? Well, I don't agree with it. I'm just going to go do it my way. Okay? And they're not in here because that's kind of the nature of not being in here. But I could go to a yearbook and flip open a yearbook, and they could stand up here on their yearbook and they can show the other way when they said, I don't trust you. I'm going to go trust what everybody else is telling me to do. And their pictures will speak for themselves. Or should we go to the cemetery? And their gravestones will speak for themselves. It's a matter of trust. I'm going to tell you a story. I heard this story. And there's two young men, and I will hurry. There's two young men. One was named Henry, and one was named Philip. Both of these young men were orphans, okay? And they lived on the streets. And one day a king came by, and the king... Basically, he saw them and he saw potential in them. And so he took these two young men, Henry and Philip, and he adopted them as his own children. And the king adopted them and he took them into his castle. And growing up, I mean, they were probably 7, 8 when they got adopted. And growing up, they lived the life of princes. They were no different than the king's own children. They were considered just as much children as the king's children. And Henry and Philip, they grew up and they enjoyed all the security of the castle. They enjoyed the benefits of the castle life. They enjoyed the food. And for a long time, it was just fun and games. A lot of fun. You know, they would go in to see the king and the king would, you know, give them extra special things. It was a lot of fun growing up in the castle. But there came a time when Henry and Philip were, you know, 12, 13 years old, that the king brought him in and he said, young men, I need you to start on a task for me. And this task is going to prepare you for your future. And he said, your future as the child of the king is to be a warrior for the king. So he brought him in and he gave each one of them, he gave Philip to one man, and he gave Henry to another man, and they both grew up learning the same things. They learned how to fence, as in sword fighting. They learned how to do battle maneuvers, and how to organize men, and how to be good leaders. Because, listen, these weren't just the normal soldiers from the street. These were the king's men. These were the elite. These were the leaders of the army that was soon to be. Because the king knew that very shortly, the two men that were over Henry and Philip were going to die, and with them all the knowledge that they had in their head. So Henry and Philip both went under their tutors, and they developed very rapidly. Now, a young man in those times, he could be given under those circumstances. I mean, it was a very physical routine. You know, we think we have soldiers today. These soldiers would eat them for lunch. I'm not being facetious. I'm thankful for our military. But you get in somebody's face, and this is the kind of killing that they did. In your face, you grab a man and you kill him. And these men grew up, these Philip and Henry, they started growing 12, 13, 14 years old. But there very quickly became a very distinct difference in the two of them. One of them, which was Philip, he did what he was told to do because he was told to do it. Henry did what he was told to do because he wanted to do it. That was the main difference between the two young men. Philip took everything very flippantly. Oh, this is okay, yeah, I got to go do my training. And he was good at it. I mean, he was a good protege, if you would. I mean, he grew up, I mean, he knew how to fight. He could probably even beat Henry in some of the hand-to-hand combat, in the wrestling, in the fighting. He could beat Henry in some of it. He was a sharp, sharp young man. Both of them grew up under the same tutelage, under different instructors, but it was the same tutelage. Same lessons of life, but Philip took it very flippantly, and he did it because he was told to do, and he did it because he enjoyed the benefits of being a king's son. He enjoyed the food. He enjoyed the recreation. He enjoyed having a roof over his head. That's why he did it. Henry over here, he did it because in his heart there was a desire to be a king's soldier. There was a desire, a longing to be the best that he could be. Yeah, Philip was better than Henry in some things. But Henry had a desire to do it. They both grew up. They both learned how to fight. They both were amazing soldiers. Amazing soldiers. The time came that they went out on some skirmishes when they were 17, 18. They went out and they would travel with experienced soldiers. But the king always kept his two sons, Philip and Henry, he always kept them in the rearward. Yeah, they saw a little bit of action, but nothing that was very strenuous, if you would. They were holding captives and so on and so forth. And Henry and Philip, they were excited. Philip, he just loved to go because he could see the battle. It was exciting to him. He, you know, everything, you know, he loved the action of it. He loved to go. He loved spending time with the other young people, like Henry. Henry went, and he would go, and he would look at the battle tactics. He would look to see how the general directed his people. Yes, it was exciting. Why wouldn't it be exciting? I mean, man, plug me in, I'm going. Okay? I mean, it was exciting for Henry too, but to him it was, how can I do this to be an effective soldier for the king? I don't want to disappoint my king. I don't want to disappoint him. So Philip did it because he did it because he was told to do. Henry did it because he wanted to do it. But they both, at that point in their life, they trusted the king. Okay, whatever you say. If they told Philip, get down and give me 100 push-ups, he didn't look at him, what are you, crazy? I don't need to do 100 push-ups. No, he trusted him. All right, I'll do it. Henry did the same thing, 100 push-ups. All right, I trust you. If they told him to go out and kill something, all right, I trust you. But as they got older, there came more and more opportunities to branch out, more and more opportunities to go out and to experience the battle. There finally came a time that the king called both boys in and he said, Henry and Philip, you've done well. You've done well. But this is your final test. This is the opportunity that you have to to go out and to prove yourself. He said, you're both going to be gone. You're leaving the castle. I'm pushing you out of the castle. And I'm not sending any other soldiers with you. And here's a task that I want you to do. You are to take this message into enemy territory. And you are to take this message and you are to deliver this message and you are to come back. But you're going to do it by yourself. No soldiers going with you. No convoys are going with you. You don't have armored tanks. You don't have any of that. Not that there were tanks, all right? You don't have a horse. You're going by foot and you're going to enemy territory. And the enemy is going to try to destroy you primarily because they know that you're a child of the king. You're going to go. He said, and here's the thing. I've prepared a special thing for you. I've prepared something special for you. I want you to go down to the blacksmith. He's been working on it for months now. I want you to go down to the blacksmith, and the blacksmith has something special for you. And they were excited, both boys. Philip, he was thinking in grandeur, you know, a really nice sword that he could take. Henry didn't know. You know, another difference between Henry and Philip is Philip never even gave a thought to the blacksmith. Henry spent time in the blacksmith shop watching the blacksmith. Whether you realize it or not, folks, the blacksmith in medieval times had probably the most important job of anybody in that castle. The most important job. And Henry would go down there and he would watch that blacksmith, a man that we don't know the name of, a man that often operated behind the scenes, but would take metal and would pound it hours after hours, swinging that hammer and forming metal into whatever he needed to form it into. They both went down to the blacksmith shop and the blacksmith saw them coming and he took them into a back room and he said, I got something very, very special for you. Once again, Philip, he's thinking, all right, more gifts, money, after I graduate, you know. Blacksmith took him into his shop and he pulled off the wall two things. And they were shields. And he pulled these shields off the wall and he handed both of them a shield. And he told them, he said, now boys, I'm not your trainer, but never lay down the shield. Never lay down the shield. Philip looked at it with disdain. Well, what do I need a shield for? I got a sword. I'm a fighter. I'm going to go out and my name will be known throughout the kingdom. Philip the Great. Whatever. Henry looked at the shield, but to Henry, this shield was different. Yes, it was heavy, but he had been in the blacksmith shop when he watched that blacksmith make that shield. He knew that there was over 50 layers of metal in that shield, hammered down to less than a 16th thick. 50 layers of metal hammered into a 16th of an inch layer. He knew the metal, the time the blacksmith had put in that shield. He knew what was in that shield. He accepted it very gratefully, with great respect. Both young men, it was time to take their journey. These were not light shields. They were heavy and sometimes awkward to carry. They started on their journey through enemy territory, and you know, for a long time, nothing really ever happened. Nothing ever happened, you know. Philip, you know, he starts out first 100 yards, he expects to be assaulted by, you know, 400 enemy. What he didn't know is that the king had actually sent out men to follow them a certain way to just give them a boost. But as soon as those men fell away, and Philip didn't know it, he started, man, there ain't nothing going on. What's this whole life that the king told me about? This is boring. And the shield?
Man, this shield is heavy. Man, this shield is restrictive. Man, this shield, why did they give me a stupid shield? These rules are stupid. These rules are restrictive. Why do I have to carry this? Why do I have to dress like this? All right, I'll carry it with me. But before long, the shield grew heavy, seemed useless. So you know what Philip did? He laid the shield down. He laid the shield down. Henry went out a different way, and Henry had a shield very similar to Philip's. Hey, there was no favoritism given in the passing out of the shields. But Philip carried his shield with him, because he knew the value of the shield. And as they went on their journey, it miles and miles down the road, the first attack came. Henry is standing there, and he hears rustling in the brush, and all of a sudden he sees four guys standing in front of him. And they didn't have bows, or they didn't have swords. They had bows. A sword is useless against a bow and arrow. The one thing that Henry had was a shield. And he put his shield up, and as those archers drew back their bows and let loose those arrows, his shield come up, just ricocheted off. Didn't even dent it. Ricocheted off. He grabbed his sword. While the men didn't have arrows on their bows, he grabbed his sword and went in, and he made work with the training that he was given in the castle. He made short work of those four. Philip had laid his shield down miles back. He trusted in only his sword. He goes out, and another four men are standing in front of him. They pull back their bows, and Philip is defenseless against an attack. Let's say two of them miss. Two of them hit home. Philip is laid on the ground bleeding to death because he laid his shield down. Henry goes on, and Henry encounters men with swords, and the shield once again saves his life. Henry soon finds out that the value of the things he has with him is not in the sword, but it's in the shield. And the Bible says, if you go to Ephesians chapter, I believe it's chapter number 6, and the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, as long, young people, Pastor's a blacksmith. I'm a blacksmith in training. Not really. I'm the miner that digs the metal out of the dirt. But Chad, why should we trust you? I'm asking you to trust the shield. Why do you have the rules? Man, that's a stupid rule. No, it's the shield. Why is that rule there? Why do I have to do that? It's for your protection. But Brother Chad, this is, in today's society, that just doesn't work. That's what Philip thought too. That's why he laid it down. If you'll keep the shield, young people, if you'll trust us in this one area and keep that shield, Brother Chad, why should I come to church? Is church really that important? Yes. It's your shield. It's your shield. You have to trust the shield. Philip could have been carrying his shield and could have held it off to the side, and the shield did him no good. You know, I put the shield in front of me because I trust that this will stop whatever comes at me. Young people, the rules that we have, the things that we ask you to do, hey, can you carry the shield? But Brother Chad, it's cumbersome. These dress standards are cumbersome. The dress standards are for your protection. This life is cumbersome. The cumbersome is for your protection. As silly as that story may have been, it's repeated over and over and over and over and over. You know the difference between the three men that stood up in here and some of the others that we don't have any idea where they're at? Is they said, all right, I'll take the shield. Don't tell me that sometimes, Brother Jeff, we don't want to lay it down. It's easier. Listen, it's easier not to be a Christian. God never promised us an easy life. It's easier not to be. Young people, if you want to know what the easy life is, go ahead, don't be a Christian. But you know what the shield protects? It protects your purity. You know what the shield protects? It protects your testimony. You know what the shield protects? It protects your marriage. You know what the shield protects? It protects your children. Go ahead, lay it down. And you lose your purity, and you lose your marriage, and you lose your children, and you lose your testimony. You sacrifice the shield, and you sacrifice it all. Both of these young men were children of the king. Rich, had you saying I'm not saved? No. You've been saved and you probably grew up under the same things everybody else has. But some of you are going to lay the shield down. And when pastor asked you, when pastor just asked you, you know, pastor asked me to go to Bible college. I kind of got sidetracked on that, I think. He asked me to go to Bible college. To me, that was a cumbersome year of my life. I don't want to go to Bible college. I need to drive a tractor. So you got Bible college or driving a tractor. You know what? I'm really glad that I said, all right, give me the shield. I'll go. Because I found out later on that the king had a blacksmith who knew what he was doing. And the king had a blacksmith who had spent a lot of time beating out some rules that he knew was important for my success. I'm not any different than anybody else out here except for one thing, is I trusted the shield. Brother Chad, does that make you special? Does it make you? No. Because there's been a lot of times when, honestly, maybe I've been carrying the shield, but I haven't been using the shield. And I've taken some hits. And it's not made me a better person. Young people, I want to challenge you. Hey, we give you something to carry. We're giving you a shield. Don't balk at the rules as, oh, that's for my grandma and grandpa's generation. No, that's for you. We don't live our lives here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church just to make rules that you just have to. Listen, I'm not asking you to carry 200 pounds on your back. I don't think our rules, the things that we stand for, are outrageous. You just got to trust it. Trust it. The things that your mom and dad, Bert Chad, I don't like the things my mom and dad have instituted. Well, I don't think that's a problem maybe with your mom and dad as much as a problem with your heart. Remember what I said at the very beginning. Philip did it because he was told to do it. Henry did it because he wanted to do it. And when that shield gets heavy, and that shield, and your arms say, I can't go any farther, Henry says, but I'm going to because I want to do it. Where's the want to? Young people, do you have a want to, or is it just like, oh, I just got to come to church because I have to? Mom and dad will kick me out of the house if I don't. And now that I'm past the whole maybe part of that life, man, I want to even more. I want to serve God even more, young people. You're going to have that insecurity time when you're like, oh man, I don't know if I want to do this. It looks so much more fun out there. Yeah, it looks fun, all right. Until you're laying on the ground bleeding to death. I could have brought yearbooks up here. How many years have we had our school? Anybody remember? 40-some years? 38, 39, I don't know. I haven't been alive that long, so I don't know. But I could bring yearbooks up here. Everybody's getting given the same opportunities that you have. Some just laid it down and some said, I'm going to carry it. Listen, it's not, young people, it's not to hurt you. It's not to hurt you. Those that ride the buses, listen, we're here for you. We're rooting for you. Your families may go crazy, but we're rooting for you. Brother Chad, I've been hurt at times in my life. Okay, I'm sorry. But can you trust me on this one thing? Just trust the shield. If you lay it down, it does you no good the rest of your life. I hope it made sense this morning. I want the young people, I want the young people to experience the joy of life like I've had. Man, life's been good. You know, you go to youth conferences, young people, and everybody gets up and says, well, this is the best life ever. They're really not lying. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. You know, and later on in life, I don't want to put down the shield either. Challenged all of us. You know, sometimes it's easy to just say, don't need this. Hold that thing up. You know what we also need? We need some more blacksmiths. The ones that'll just say, hey, here's something. You know, a blacksmith can teach a work ethic. I'm thankful for men, you know, Waltons, they do a great job, you know, helping our boys teach work ethic. That's huge. Lazy Christians kill us right now. Pick up the shield, guys. Pick up the shield, young ladies, and carry it. Don't throw it down. It's for your protection. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Father, probably an odd Sunday morning message. Lord, I just wanted to maybe be a blessing to some of the young people this morning. And not typical, but I pray, Lord, that you would help them to carry the shield. Lord, help them to trust their pastor. Lord, he's seasoned. He knows what the devil has out there. He knows how to produce a shield that will protect their purity, that will protect their marriage, that will protect their testimony. And Lord, I pray that they would just take it up, help them to keep it, help them to hold on to it. Lord, thank you for our young people. Lord, I pray for them. I prayed for them all today. And I pray that you just bless them and help them. In Jesus' name, amen.